welcome to the Klamath Tribes podcast. Today, we're talking with our new fish biologist at Ambodat. His name is Ryan Bart, and he joins us today. Ryan, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you've been here for 6 weeks.
Yeah, started the end of January, and yeah, it's been a lot of drinking from the fire hose. Yeah, understanding some of the issues up here and how I can fix it from a fish perspective. Yep.
So where did you come from?
Home is central Minnesota, but before this, I took a little bit of time off. Then I was up in northern Idaho for a little bit, but a big part of my career was spent here in the Klamath Basin doing research on juvenile suckers. So, yeah.
So what was that research and who did you work with?
So I was with the USGS when I was in the Klamath Basin before, and I was doing monitoring efforts to look for, pretty much look for cohorts, new cohorts coming down the line of Klamath suckers. And so that involved a lot of effort out on Upper Klamath Lake and Clear Lake in California. So, setting a lot of trap nets and really getting to know the lake. So,
you told me before we sat down there, you're 31 years old, so you have some experience under your belt. Want to backtrack to how you got into fish biology, your college background, and how you it all led to TWOM and COP2 suckers?
Oh gosh, yeah, I'd say I really picked up the spark when I worked on Lake Superior, working for the state of Minnesota. I was doing lake trout surveys on the Big Lake, and just really getting fascinated behind the science behind it, and really learning stuff from collecting fish that we were collecting on the lake. And from there, I ended up working in the Dakotas with pallid sturgeon, and so really kind of dipping my toes into working with long-lived fish from there. And then I ended up going to grad school down in Auburn, Alabama. That was a great experience, just really gaining my quantitative fisheries background and really, really learning how we can predict the future of different fisheries and how we can manage based on those predictions. And that led me to the Klamath Basin. So, and from there, it's been great. I really fell in love with this place when I first came here, and really, I'd say it's one of the most pretty places I've ever lived. So I'm glad to be back.
So you were working for the USGS, and then you came straight to Ambodat from there, or?
Between there, I did a little bit of work in northern Idaho, working with a Kootenai River white sturgeon. And there I was with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, pretty much collaborating with the different partners in that area. I would say I was a very small part of the actual effort of recovery up there, but I was just fascinated with the hard work that was going into that species and really their success up there. And I think that experience helped me learn a lot, and hopefully I'll be able to apply that here.
You've mentioned sturgeon quite a few times. Are these like an endangered species that you've been working with?
Yeah, all these have been federally listed species. So pallid sturgeon, where they're federally endangered, and those are endemic to the Missouri River system and somewhat in the Mississippi drainage, or in the lower Mississippi too. And then Kootenai River white sturgeon, that's a distinct population segment of white sturgeon that are listed as endangered. And those are really unique to where they only occur in the Kootenai River, so pretty much Montana, Idaho, and British Columbia, and up in Canada. And so, yeah, there's a lot of collaboration, especially with all those borders up there between different agencies, different states, and provinces, and federal governments, really, between the United States and Canada. So, yeah, there's been a lot of hard work and really, with long-lived fishes, that's what you have to do is think long-term, too. So the sturgeon is the textbook example of that.
And I would throw TWOM and COP2 for the long-term prospect of saving a species. We're on the cusp, really, it seems to me, from what I've seen over the last 10 months of covering this. More effort has to be made to raise more fish to combat the obstacles that they face, and the lake, the Upper Klamath Lake. What do you think is the blueprint that we should follow for getting more fish into the lake?
Well, I think one option is to look at success stories in other parts of the country. And so Western lake suckers they've had challenges throughout their time of existence, and really one example of that would be June sucker out in Utah. And so really using management strategies that they've had out there and kind of using that as a blueprint as far as how we approach things here could be one option. Ultimately, we know that there's been recruitment failure of these fish, recruitment failure from juveniles to the spawning population for decades now. And really, it's still somewhat of a mystery as far as to what exactly is causing that recruitment failure. Our default would be saying death by 1,000 cuts. We know that there's health issues with the lake out there, and but ultimately finding solutions around that and learning what we can control at this point is how we have been proceeding. And so and that's where Ombudot, that's partially where our role fills in some of the cracks with some of the efforts that have been going basin-wide. So, yeah.
As a fish biologist, 6 weeks in, what have you learned at Ombudot about the Tuamotu Coffin? Maybe that, you know, now that you're in there working directly with them from, you know, the outside perspective you had with USGS and now being involved, what's popped up in the last 6 weeks that caught you your attention?
When you think you know a lot about fish and really the hatchery world is pretty new to me, and just how unique how there's unique ways of raising fish. And so at the Ombudot facility, we use pond culture, and so we have several ponds out there that we're rearing fish in a more natural environment. So we are feeding them, but we're also relying on natural forage such as zooplankton that you'd find naturally in the lake. And ultimately that idea is to really raise a fish that is more naturalized to their environment, and hopefully will give them better success in the wild. And so yeah, really just how unique how there's unique methods of approaching raising fish and having them succeed in the wild. Yeah.
And as your job description, what is your primary focus at Ombudot?
Really the recovery of the endangered suckers here in the basin. And then also a proportion of that would be too focused on anadromous fish, so salmon reintroduction to the basin. But primarily, sucker recovery in the basin, understanding what issues we're dealing with now, and then working with partners to hopefully put the fish on the right track and put them on the path to recovery.
You mentioned partners. I heard from somebody who was working as a welder at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, a sucker pond rearing, where they're building like 20 ponds down by the Visitors Information Center off 97, I think. Are you aware of that? Are we working in conjunction with them?
Yeah, we were able to tour their facility the other day, and they are expanding their facility to be able to rear more fish at their facility. And there's a lot of collaboration between our office and theirs to not only assist with the ideas, but also the technical aspect of just collecting fish for rearing. And so, yeah, we're always in constant communication with them and learning from each other, too, to make sure that we're covering all of our bases.
Is it correct that 20 ponds, is that what they have out there?
Gosh, you know, I don't think I'd be able to... to say confidently.
But quite a few, though.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Definitely. Definitely much larger than our facility. Yes.
But we are expanding Amodat Ponds. Where are we at now, and what are you expecting in the next year or so?
Yeah, we're currently expanding a little bit above the facility, and we're in the process of building the basins, make sure that they're properly built, and then hopefully we'll be able to expand our facility by putting fish in those basins by next spring, and ultimately with the goal of growing fish out to a larger size to improve survival in the wild.
And what's your specialty and role?
Oh, as far as as far as rearing fish, or just at the office in general?
Well, you're what's your specialty? I mean, everybody's got their niche that they have to fill, and or you know, is it all encompassing? I mean, what is it that you bring to the table?
Ooh, gosh. Yeah, I would say just my experience with long-lived fishes in the Western United States and really focusing on what I've learned from the past and then applying that to here. Really, I think that's where I hope I'm an asset to this facility and really guiding the facility towards having success with rearing fish and then also learning about the fish in the wild.
Yeah, this is a learning process, I guess, for everybody. There isn't a lot to learn from in the wild because there isn't that many left in the wild. So it's a time now of, I don't know if we should say desperation, but certainly we're at that apex point where we have to do something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's adult abundance is not looking great, and it's I think now is the time to really look at alternative ways to save the species and make sure that we're accounting for every possibility for these fish and really planning not only in years but in decades in the future and really having this long-term goal of how we're approaching things. And yeah, that's really the important vision, I feel, especially with any fishery that you're trying to manage and recover. Yeah.
As a fish biologist, this has got to be a very challenging but exciting position to be in. As a fish biologist trying to save a species on the verge of extinction, it doesn't get any more important and critical than that.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely a pressure on you, but I think it's important to consider too that we're not alone at Amodat. We're working with other partners in the basin, and ultimately we're not the only ones who want to save the species. And so maintaining that communication with other people in the basin and making sure that we're all on the same page and not missing anything when attempting to recover the species is important.
And your director, Mark Buettner, he's got decades under his belt working to save these fish. So you have somebody who's not only your director, but a mentor. And do you see yourself decades in work here?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, looking at Mark's, I could say legacy. Yeah. I mean, I've definitely cited his work in the past and he's really a great fit for office, having a lot of experience with Western lake suckers and yeah, I mean, this is one of my favorite places on earth, and being able to spend time here and see progress is really important to me personally, and yeah, really just seeing these species not only recover but thrive in the future is pretty important.
And you've got a team you're working with at Amodat, a young team. Your director's an old guy like me, but everybody else is, in their late 20s, early 30s. It's a up-and-coming class of biologists working together.
Yeah, yeah, and we're all trying to gain as much knowledge as we can from our predecessors and other folks that have been in the basin longer, and then really just building upon what they've learned, and that's I feel like that's that's the path to success right there. So hopefully we can keep learning and make progress.
All right, very good. Ryan Bart, our new fish biologist here at AmboDot. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And we will talk again next week on Plymouth Tribes Podcast.